Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Akeegan Boyce. In an era of streaming and AI and algorithmic discovery, sometimes we forget that there are humans behind the music. Music is one of the most human things that we do, after all. On Community Matters, we chat with artists who share their stories through the lens of their music communities, the people that have been there alongside their journeys. We hope it's a reminder of just how important people are to the music that we love. Today, still in the midst of the pandemic, I'm speaking with Pierre Lewis.
So how you doing?
Oh, nothing, man. Just nothing. I've never had everything stripped from me.
Yeah.
Like a snap of finger.
Yeah.
Because all I do is play music and go to the gym. I can't do either one.
Pierre's a keyboardist who came up in the Twin Cities in the 70s. It's one of the most important and underappreciated scenes for funk music. And that spirit was aptly captured in the compilation record Purple Snow, named after Prince, the Purple One, who hailed from the Twin Cities himself. The album chronicles the history of the scene and features many Prince collaborators, one of whom being Pierre and his band The Lewis Connection. Pierre actually appears in that record more than any other person, which is a testament to his skill as a musician and as a collaborator. He was enmeshed in the scene. We chatted about that, as well as his relationship with Prince and the rare record he made that includes Prince's earliest recorded play. We started at the beginning.
My parents, they bought an organ to see my mother playing it, and my cousin, she used to play it. One day, this guy came over named Ronnie Scott. He was dressed up real cool and everything, and he was playing the organ. And I was like, I want to be like him, but it was mainly because of the way he was dressed, right? So I started taking lessons, but I was a real slow learner. And then I really wanted to quit, because all I wanted to do is play sports. But I had to learn my lesson before I could go to football, baseball, basketball practice. Eventually, it took me a little while, but I started catching on to things. Because by the time I was 12 years old, I was playing around town professionally, making money. I was playing a big Hammond B3, but it was too big for me to carry. So the guys I was playing with were in their 20s and 30s. So they carried it for me. When I first started, you know, the guys, it was like, you know, they had to come and talk to my parents. It was like, oh, Mr. Lewis, Mrs. Lewis, we'll make sure that he's not going to be drinking no liquor, and he's not going to be, we'll keep an eye on him. He's going to be okay. Then we got to the gig. I was like, listen, man, you guys ain't going to be treating me like no little kid. I'm not going to be drinking or doing nothing, but, you know, you do you, I do me, and, you know, it's okay, man, okay, okay. In high school, I hooked up with a band called The Family. Sonny Thompson was one of the guys. He could play guitar, bass, and he could sing like, he could imitate anybody singing. And he was born with perfect pitch. He just had extra talent. I grew up in St. Paul. He grew up in North Minneapolis, but I had to come to North Minneapolis every day to practice with The Family. So once I got in high school, I was over in North Minneapolis so much that sometimes I was spending the night at Sonny's house.
Sonny Thompson is a bass player who would become part of Pierre's band, The Lewis Connection. A little bit later, he joined the New Power Generation, the famed backing band for Prince. Prince and Pierre, as it turns out, go way back.
Me and Prince were on 94 East album.
Okay.
But we recorded that back like when we was like in 10th and 11th grade.
Oh, so you guys knew each other early on.
Oh, yeah. We knew each other since like 72, 73. I always knew Prince was going to be big. I knew that he was going to make it, so it was more like I was waiting for when it was going to happen. A lot of good musicians in this area, you know, that maybe had a lot more musical ability than him, but for some reason, I didn't have no dream or nothing. I just knew that he was going to be big. We was all in high school. I was always practicing and working on my skills, but Prince, he had obtained this big old book called The Business of Music, and he read the book more than once. That's what a lot of people don't realize. He knew the business before he had a record deal or anything. We used to be at the New Way Community Center, and we had in the back room, the equipment was already set up, and Prince would come down there, we'd jam. A lot of times it was just me and Prince in the back jamming, and he'd be on the drums, and I would be like on the keys or whatever. And what a lot of people don't realize about Prince, the guitar wasn't really his best instrument. He had some drums and keyboards. And he was shy, too. I mean, he was really a shy kid. When he came out having half his clothes on and wild on stage, that shocked me a little bit because he was always quiet and shy. But even though he was shy, I could see through that.
The Twin Cities scene was a very collaborative affair. Pierre and Prince first played together in the band 94 East, which was started by Pepe Willie, who later managed Grand Central, another band Prince played. They used to play in Battle of the Bands with The Family and another band called Flight Time, which featured Cynthia Johnson, the pipes behind that infamous Limp's Inc. track, Funky Town. Pierre actually used to play with Flight Time himself, but quit after Cynthia quit. They were replaced by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who have more Billboard number ones than any other songwriting and production team in history. Later, they'd bring on Morris Day, change their name to The Time, and tour with Prince.
When Prince was, when he had a fallout with Grand Central, when he came and played with us, The Family, for a while. Whenever we played The Family, he would be sitting right underneath Sonny, trying to pick up anything that he could do. Maybe just before Lewis Connection, or right when the Lewis Connection started, pretty close to that. So we were playing around town, and Prince, I think he was doing the Soft and Wet thing. And then his album did come out. When The Family was together, we recorded one of the songs on the Lewis Connection album that's called Got to Be Something Here for Us. That might have been the first thing that Prince was on that went out.
So when the Lewis Connection, which was primarily Pierre, his brother Andre, and Sonny Thompson, released their self-titled EP, they included that recording of Got to Be Something Here, which includes the barely discernible strumming work of a young Prince. The album wouldn't arrive until 1979, after Prince's major label debut, but because the track was recorded several years earlier, it's thought to be the earliest recording in existence of Prince's playing. Pierre didn't think all that much of it until Prince's career really started to take off.
I went to stay in Atlanta for a while. And I was playing with all the local cats in Atlanta. Then I got tired of that, and I came back to Minnesota. I worked steadily locally, doing several gigs a week, you know, doing recordings for people. And then all of a sudden, you know, with the Lewis Connection album, it got to be where it was worth a lot of money because Prince was on that. I graduated in 75, but I was still in high school. I hadn't graduated.
Yeah, so Pierre, just to share, you know, some context to all of this and, like, you know, how I came across you and your stories. So my dad showed me this record. He has one of the original Lewis Connection records.
Well, it's worth money. I don't have any more. My sister threw them all in the dumpster.
Yeah, I heard about that, or I read about
it. About 400, 500 of them in the dumpster.
Oh, God, I'm sorry to hear.
You know how much I was selling the albums for about 8 years ago? I had, like, only 18 of them left. But whenever I got low on money, I would call this guy. I would sell to him for like $500-$600. All I had to do was give him a call. He'd be in my house in 15 minutes. $500-$600. Because Prince was on that one song. And just take my sister, threw away hundreds of them.
That's clearly still a sore subject. And for good reason. It's a glaring my mom threw out my baseball card scenario. But if you had 400 Jackie Robinson rookie cards and you'd played for the 49 Dodgers and hand-printed the cards, my dad happened across one of them. So a few years ago, he bought a lot of 87 records on an online auction for $52, and the Lewis Connection was one of them. He did some research and unearthed some of the record's history. There's actually a small handwritten note on the album's cover that led to me reaching out to Pierre.
So I'm actually looking at it right now. You know, it's still in its plastic wrap, but there's a little corner cut out. And there's something from you that says, "To blood I grew up with, to ransom from Pierre, thank you." Do you remember that? Do you know who that was?
I have a bad memory. My memory's so bad that part of when I go out and I'm traveling, there's only one Minnesota guy in there. So he travels with me and he does the lights, Bob. And part of his responsibility is making sure that I don't lose my phone, my wallet, my luggage.
I mean, I don't know. Your memory's not that bad. You've been dropping names.
Ransom.
Yes. Yes, Ransom.
Okay, there's one Ransom I know that was a drummer. But he played with a group called the Show Pushers. They had horn section, and they would twirl their horns and everything, and they were good. They had three singers that would come out front, and they had a lot of dance routines, and they would be singing. You know how they did it in the old days. I mean, it was something else.
So for the entirety of our conversation, Pierre was recalling incredible moments and settings with all kinds of people, just really connecting the dots to the Twin Cities scene. He'd go on to play with a bunch of other luminaries, Casey and the Sunshine Band, Joss Stone, and the Commodores, who he still plays and tours with today. So given such an extensive history in music, I asked him to talk a little bit about what that progression felt like through the decades.
One thing I noticed about the 70s, guys really had to play because there were so many musicians with high skill sets in the 70s. So you got guys that are in the same league as like Herbie Hancock or almost in the same league. Now you got, you know, almost a dozen of them guys walking around, you know, and you could have took the Twin Cities out of Minnesota and put it right in the middle of Los Angeles. So in the 70s, you definitely had to put your work in. In the 80s, that kind of went down a little bit. And then the 90s with the hip-hop and all that, and then all the electronic stuff, you know. So now it's not just jazz. You had to be at a certain level if you wanted to work locally. You had to be at the international level if you just wanted to play at the joint down the street, you know.
And Pierre, with that international talent, is still playing at those joints down the street.
Just trying to work as much as I can. Then I have local gigs. I do a blues jam session every Monday night at this place called Shaw's. And then I have another place I play at called Deluxe every Sunday.
One thing that struck me throughout our conversation is how prolific Pierre's career is and how little information exists about him. Google him and it's strange how little you'll find. But that doesn't seem to bother him. He continues to exercise supreme humility, hardly ever talking about himself and just playing music, which is really admirable and rare.
They don't really know that much about me. They have no idea, like, my Prince history or nothing, you know. I don't like to say too much because, you know, sometimes, you know, the guys in the band, they get, like, I don't want nobody to get jealous, so I try to just keep a low key and not say too much. But I said a lot to you. I mean, you know more than the guys in the Commodores know. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks, Pierre. It was really great speaking with you. You know, thanks for sharing your story. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you doing it, too.
I'd like to thank Pierre for his many contributions to music and for his time and energy. We spoke on the phone a few times and he was always willing to talk and give his time. The world could use more people like Pierre, and it could do a better job at recognizing people like Pierre. So when you're in the Twin Cities, be sure to stop by and see him play. All the music on this episode was from the Lewis Connection record, which was actually reissued in 2013, so check it out. And it was used with Pierre's permission. Community Matters is a production of Grey Matter. Grey Matter is a community platform with new ways to discover music, express yourself, and support creators. Our mission is to build a more sustainable music ecosystem for everyone. For more info, you can follow the link in the show's description. You can also sign up to be a beta user or follow us on Instagram or Twitter. And tune back in a couple weeks for another round of Community Matters. Thanks for being here.